I don't want to be a club. I don't want to be the Elks Club or the Moose Club or a civic organization that does good stuff. Church should do good things for sure. But the thing that separates the church out from any other thing is that God's there. Is that God moves. Is that the Spirit of the living God comes in and He breathes on us. He transforms us. He changes us. That we're not just doing things because we just have a nice little heart, but we have a changed heart from God Almighty. That He lives inside of us and He transforms us and He sets us on fire with mission to see more and more people to come to know Him. But it all happens because of the presence of the living God. I long for His presence. I long for God to move and do what only He can do. I love it. I call this place the living room because I want it to be like the living room where you can take your shoes off, where you feel comfortable, where you can just relax and recline and you can just be at peace. And in that peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit just comes and He does what only He can do, and He starts changing us and He starts speaking to us. And I pray that this morning that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. I loved Joan, I think it's your granddaughter Joan that came up here, and as she was coming up, just a little girl, and as she came forward and as worship was starting, man, she was just clapping and she was spinning about. You know, my heart is always that kids would love the presence of God. That kids would love to come to church. That they're not a bother. They're not a hindrance. I pass out suckers to them after the service because I want them to know we value them. We care about them. I love them. Besides that, I'm a grandpa and I love kids running after me. So I know the trick. Candy, it works. But we want God to move. We've been in the middle of a series, actually quite long one. It's been interesting. We've taken a lot of side trips. We've been talking about, what are you reaching for? How do you reach your full potential for Jesus Christ, your full potential in life? How do you reach your full potential as a Christian and not just go through and at the end go, man, I wish I would have grown more in God. That's why I'm so excited about. Everyone here has a heart to really grow in God, and I love that about you. What a privilege it is to be your pastor of people that you got to run faster than they're running because they're excited about God. We've talked about five things that we're reaching for: relationships, evangelism, accountability, calling. Holy Spirit was the fifth one. And then we took a little detour and we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. We talked about His attributes, that He's a person, that He's holy, that He's the power, that He's your advantage. He's our helper. He convicts us of sin. He guides us to all truth. He's to be received. He's intended to fill us. He can be resisted, the Bible says. He can be grieved, the Bible says. But we're to listen to Him. We're to obey Him. And we're to walk with Him in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And then last week we talked about this other attribute, that the Holy Spirit disperses spiritual gifts. That not only is He in us, He's trying to gift us that we may have giftings to reach this world and to see it transformed. Giftings to help you, to encourage you, to empower you, to help you fulfill the mission, to fulfill the calling that God has for you. These spiritual gifts, it's our advantage. God gives us an advantage, this Holy Spirit. And I think why spiritual gifts, I said, to enable us with power to do the ministry, to walk your walk, not just talk the talk, but actually walk it out. He's given you a power. You don't need a spiritual gift to get to heaven. That doesn't get you to heaven. That doesn't make you some hot shot. You're not some spiritual dynamo just because you have a gift. God gave you the gifts so you could maximize your calling and reach your full God-given potential in this life. Not so you can be proud and arrogant. Last week we started this talk about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be. That's why we're talking about it. A lot of people don't want to talk about spiritual gifts. They're uncomfortable. I'm going to talk about that uncomfortability in just in a little bit here. But spiritual gifts, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. That means we need to study them then. Ignorant also means to ignore them. I don't know, so I just ignore them. I don't want to think about them. No, I want to get in there. I want to struggle through. What does it mean? Where is it at? God, do what you want to do in us, but we want to use what you've given us and not just throw it aside. Because there's one person who doesn't want you to be informed. There is one person who wants you to stay ignorant. And that's the devil. He doesn't want you to have any power, any tools, anything to help you in your walk, because his goal is to defeat you, to discourage you, to kick you down, to unedify you with all sorts of stuff that's out there. Gifts. We talked about gifts. Oh. Remember last week I said God gave us gifts. Why did he give us gifts? So we could what? Who would like a gift today? Anybody like a gift today? Anybody like a gift today? Anybody here with their parent or with their dad? I think, Veronica, you're here. Darren, is that correct, Darren? All right. Here's a gift for you, just because we love you. No, I'm going to give it to him personally. No, I'm just kidding. Here, pass it down. Go ahead and pass it down. Pass it down. Everybody just get an idea. Shake it. What's in there? What's in there? What's in there? Darren, how many children do you have, Darren?
Two.
And is Veronica older, younger?
She's my baby.
She's your baby, huh? All right. Where's your other daughter at?
Oh, I have a son.
Oh, son. Excuse me. I don't know why I assumed daughter, but...
He's at Central Washington University.
He's at Central Washington University. How far apart are you?
3 years.
3 years. 3 years. Okay. And Veronica got water baptized here just last week, and it was so exciting, man. I'm so excited about God and what he's doing. He's moving. God's moving. And you know when he moves, he makes you a little bit uncomfortable, because if God were to show up right here and just boom, right here, however you visualize him, would you just go, hey, dude, it's awesome? You'd be going, oh my gosh, did I repent? Am I okay? It would be a little unnerving, don't you think? A little like your hand be shaking a little bit if God just showed up in his glory. I think when God moves by his spirit, it's a little unnerving. It's a little... But would you rather have him move and see the dynamicness of God in the spirit? Or would you rather just continue to live a dull, boring, lifeless, powerless Christianity? You see, there's always a channel. There's always a challenge. There's always a rub. It's just... When you think about God, he's supernatural. He moves powerfully. He does stuff that just doesn't sometimes make sense to us. But I'll tell you what, that's what I want. I want God to move. I want this to be his. This isn't my church. This is God's church. And he can do whatever he wants in this church. I was listening to one pastor, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago. The pastor said, hey, you don't get to preach what you want to preach. You preach what God tells you to preach. So this morning, I'm preaching what God told me to preach. Amen. He's talking about his gifts. He's talking about his gifts here. In 1 Corinthians, remember, the church was in disarray. It was in unorder. There were divisions, and they were fighting over these things called spiritual gifts. And yet, instead of using spiritual gifts to create the body of Christ and make it wonderful, the gifts were a divisive point. Because people are thinking, I have a gift, and I'm super, and I'm awesome, and I'm wonderful, and you don't have one, so you're nothing. They were arrogant in their gifts. So Paul was trying to explain to them, hey, I want to explain the motivation for these gifts, but also I want to share how they're supposed to work and how it's supposed to build the body together, not split it apart. So we talked about some last week. We said, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, to one who's given the word of wisdom. We talked about that. The word of knowledge. We talked about that. We saw that demonstrated here today. The same spirit, another faith, another gifts of healings, praying and seeing people miraculously healed, another working of miracles, to another prophecy. We also saw prophecy this morning when a person comes to the microphone and is given a word of exhortation and encouragement to us as a whole, like God speaking to us and letting us know, dude, come after me. I love you guys. You're awesome. Keep coming. Don't stop. You see, God's always encouraging us. He's always encouraging us. The devil is always telling you, you're a failure, you're a flop, and you're never going to make it. But God is always encouraging you. And when you fall, He says, hey, get up, brush, dust you off. Let's keep going, man. We got a great job ahead to do. He's so forgiving. He's so caring. He's so wonderful. He just blows my mind in His forgiveness. And I'm a recipient of that forgiveness, and a lot of it. That's where we left off. We went to discerning of spirits. That's where we left off. And these last two I'm going to put together here. He said, to another, different kind of tongues. Different kind of tongues. Tongues, the special supernatural ability to speak God's own words in angelic or human languages unknown to the speaker. And then the next one, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues, the spiritual ability to translate the unknown language of the person speaking. Oh, did you open that yet? Not yet? Have you opened it? Okay, just hold on then. Just keep holding. Just look at it, shake it, and just wonder what's in there. The spiritual ability to translate. Did I already read that? The spiritual ability to translate the unknown language of the person speaking to the audience listening. The one who does a translation of that foreign language is able by the Spirit to interpret without learning the language beforehand. An amazing supernatural gift. I think here as you go through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are going to be about these gifts and the motivation for the gifts as you read that. And you're going to find as I read through it that Paul distinguishes between two different ways of using tongues. Personally, as a prayer language for personal edification is the first way. Personal. It's a personal prayer language. It's for personal edification. In Jude 20, it says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 15 says, I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray in tongues, and I'll pray also with an understanding. I'll pray with my natural understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I'll also sing with my natural understanding. He's given us a prayer language so that we can pray, because there's a lot of things that we need to pray about in our world today. I don't know if your world's anything like mine, but there's all sorts of problems, from relational to financial to these issues to those issues. There's all sorts of issues out there, all sorts of things that are happening, and not just in our own lives, but there's also in our government, in our society, in everything. And God gave us the power to be able to pray. He gave us this thing called tongues so we could pray in the Spirit that God might move and use the words that He places upon our hearts. So we see, as Paul's distinguishing here, there's this idea of a personal prayer language, personal edification. Secondly, there's this corporate or prophetic word that must be interpreted so that the church can be edified. You see, the personal one, tongues personally, is to edify you. Tongues corporately, which needs to be interpreted or it makes no sense, is to be used prophetically so it bring encouragement to the whole body. Just like the prophetic words here, we all understood. If it were given in tongues, it would need to be interpreted. Okay? Now, I'll speak about that in just a moment. Two different uses for two different types of edification. Personal. He's going to talk about that. Personally. Tongues, corporately, tongues. Therefore, if tongues are used in the church for church edification, it must be interpreted. But if it's personal, for my personal prayer language, he's not instructing us in that case to have it interpreted. And you don't see it interpreted through other instances that are in the Scripture. Individually, I believe, we are all encouraged to receive this gift to speak in tongues. I believe that. Now, you don't have to believe that. My responsibility as a pastor is to present the word that I believe, and here's where it's at. My job as a pastor is to make sure that you're well educated. But you need to make sure that you have to personally know what you believe and why you believe it. My whole reason of preaching or all the teaching techniques that we have here, all of the Bible foundations, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Carpenter series, and Mirror 1, 2, and 3, all of those are to help you understand what is the Bible saying, but you have to then figure out, how does that say that to me? What do I believe? My heart is to encourage you to find out what you believe and why you believe it, and then be able to articulate that to another generation. Because if we cannot articulate it to the next generation, Christianity will die out. Our Z generation, our 18 and younger folks out there, are the first generation in history of the United States that are not predominantly Christian. 49% only claim Christianity. The other 51% do not. First time we've had a generation that didn't identify as Christian. We got a job to do. We got a world to reach. We got to tell them how awesome Jesus Christ is, and we need a lot of tools in order to do it. So we need to know what these gifts are so we can utilize them. I want to talk historically about this idea of tongues. Where did it come from? In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with in one accord, the disciples, about 120 of them in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I mean, that's exciting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and it sat upon each one of them. I kind of wonder what they thought. As there was fire, I wonder if anybody grabbed water and doused another guy next to them. I wonder if just, oh my God, he's on fire! You know, just wanting to put them out. You know, God showed up at that service. God showed up and he did something supernatural. He did something a little unnerving, a little uncomfortable. God moved. God did his God thing. I like it when God does his God thing rather than us doing our thing. I want God's things to happen. I want God to move. I want God to touch. Because I don't care what you say and how you move, you can't change a heart. Only God can change their heart. You can bring the words, but the Holy Spirit has to get in there and move and bring conviction and have a heart changed. I want God to move. I want God to change our society. But he needs people to move through. And we need to be gifted in order to do it. Tongues of fire sat upon each one of them. Wow, I hope they have the video of that. Verse 4, and they were, how many of them were filled? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began. What's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit here in this case? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow, an amazing thing took place. An amazing phenomenon just took place. Never happened before. What's going on? But remember I told you, hey, tarry in your state of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I told you when I was leaving that I was going to send a power. I was going to send the Holy Spirit. I was going to send something to you that was going to enable you, empower you to rise up and be able to start preaching messages and start leading people to Christ, and the whole world gets changed. Wow. Oh, we don't need it today because I think we need it more today. The community there is there for the Feast of Pentecost. The Bible says every nation under heaven was there, and they all heard them. Other nations hearing them speak the wonderful works of God. And they're speaking these wonderful works of God, and they know that you don't know our language. And how are you guys doing this? And then the community starts going on that these guys must be drunk. Yeah. Getting drunk, that allows you to be able to do a supernatural sign and speak in tongues and be able to say a language that you don't even know and I can understand coherently. That is attributed to alcohol, yes. No. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That's what he said. It's 9 o'clock. But Peter tells him something in Acts chapter 2:16. He goes on to say, what's happening? All of this, it's happening. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I will pour out my Spirit. I'll pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Whoa. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I'm really bummed because I mainly dream dreams and I don't see visions. I transferred from young man to old man. Take a look at... Your old man shall... Something. The Spirit is moving. I'm going to start doing something powerful in the earth. And I'm going to inhabit you. I'm going to live inside of you. That's never been done before. The Holy Spirit will inhabit us. He'll change us. He'll empower us. He'll encourage us. He'll gift us. So we can do what only He can do. Because He is in here. Peter preaches then an awesome message about Jesus and salvation. Hey, these spiritual things that are happening, that's because Joel prophesied it. And then he uses it as an opportunity to kick off his evangelistic campaign. He starts preaching about Jesus. You know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they all understand the story. Peter preaches such an awesome message at the very end. Verse 37, it says, now, when all of them heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we supposed to do with all of this? And Peter said to them, first, repent. Repent of your sins. It's a gift from God. He gave you this gift so you could repent and He would forgive you like that. He'd forgive you. He'd forgive you. Oh my gosh, I remember the first time just unloading all of my sins. And afterwards, it's just squeaky clean. It felt so good to be unburdened of my sin. Secondly, what are we to do? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Veronica, that's what you did. All of these other folks, and we have more that are going to getting ready to go. I'm just saying, that's what He says to do. What do we do? Repent. Get water baptized. And then number three, He says, the result will be, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that came on you, that allowed you to speak in tongues, that same Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Allow you to speak in tongues. For the promise, this promise of the Holy Spirit coming and inhabiting you and giving you the ability to speak in tongues, this is promise, it's for you and to all your children and to all who are afar off. Everyone who doesn't know God, we want to get him saved and bring him into the family. All that are far off, don't know God, we want to bring him in. This gift is for you. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And then tongue shows up again in Acts chapter 8. Philip and Samaria, and they all get filled. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, and they all get filled and speak in tongues. Acts chapter 19, the disciples at Ephesus, and they all get filled and speak in tongues. Mark chapter 16, they talk about it being a sign of those that follow Jesus Christ. They'll speak in tongues. The interesting thing, it's unnerving a little bit, isn't it? This gift. Unnerving to me. Why? Why do we speak in tongues? Two aspects, I said. For personal edification. And secondly, with interpretation to edify the church. Let's pick it up in 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says this. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. This thing is between you and God. That's the whole idea. It's a language between you and God where you can pray, you can speak, you can seek Him, you don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what I should pray. And then all of a sudden God gives you the things to pray and you begin to speak in a prayer language and you start speaking in tongues and you're praying this thing through and you feel something in the Spirit that God is using your voice and praying through you. So it's personal. He does not speak to people. See this? He who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to people, but he speaks to God. It's personal. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries in the Spirit. Man, I tell you, speaking in tongues, I don't know what God's doing there in the Spirit. It's an amazing thing. But the one who prophesies speaks to people. That's a corporate thing. He's prophesying. He's saying it to people. He's saying it to the congregation. He's trying to talk about this corporate thing and this personal thing for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue, say it with me, edifies themselves. Does anybody here need to be edified? Actually, I'm a Christian who actually does not need edification because, dang, I'm good. I don't know anybody that's like that. Anyone, Paul says, who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. This personal edification. We need to be built up and edified when there is so much discouragement, depression, hopelessness, addictions, suicides. Who out there doesn't need to be encouraged, built up, and edified? What happens when you're going after that job and all of a sudden you're rejected and you just feel down? You need to be edified. What happens when you're having some financial difficulties and you don't know how it's going to work and I just need to be edified? I just need the Holy Spirit moving, giving me a different understanding, a different perspective on this thing. I need the Holy Spirit. With all of the difficulties of life, I need the Holy Spirit to navigate. And he said, I gave him to you to help you, the helper. We all need it. I think it'd be cruel of God to say, hey, I'm only going to give two people this ability to edify themselves. The rest of you, too bad. I think the idea of a spiritual gift, he's not given it to everyone, tongues and interpretation, to use prophetically in the corporate congregation, but personally, for personal use, for personal prayer, he's given us this Holy Spirit. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. Edify yourself with personal tongues. Edify the church with a prophetic use. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That's what he's saying. I want all of you. He knows, hey, to one is given, to one is given, to one is given. He's got that. That's what it is corporately. Using tongues and interpretation corporately. But privately, for personal edification, I want you all to do this. He's trying to get us to understand that. All of you do that. And he says, but I would rather even more, the New King James says, but even more, I'd like you to prophesy. Use these gifts. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless, in the church, right? Because it's for our corporate edification, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. He's getting this idea that, hey, it's for the church, it's not privately. He's trying to distinguish between corporately using it and privately using the gift. Corporately, some. Privately, all. You know, we have small groups so people can grow in gifts. We have Wednesday night where we open up the idea of, hey, if you have a gift or you feel something that the Lord's moving, please bring it. On Sunday morning, let me say this though, on Sunday morning, only our proven prophets, only our proven people that we know their lifestyle, we know their testimony, we know their walk, their gift has been proven, are the ones that are ministering on Sunday, because we have a lot of visitors on Sunday, a lot of new, all of you new folks, we have visitors. I don't want to, we're not after a circus here. We're not after some free for all. The Bible says everything done decently and in order, but let it be done, but we want to do it decently and in an orderly way. So we might be edified. They edified the church. The prophetic word edified us. The words of knowledge, they edified us. (Clears throat) our prophecies are supposed to be judged, and they're judged by people afterwards. You don't just give a word and walk away. People are judging. Our pastors are judging the word. Because if there needs to be correction, we want to correct that word and not have people walk in the wrong direction. That's what the Bible says. It says they're to prophesy and then they're to be judged. Now, let me say this one aspect too. There's an aspect in 1 Corinthians 14, 23 and 24 where it talks about when a new person comes in, there's tongues and interpretation, it can create confusion for the person. So they're asking, hey, just do it prophetically. Just do a prophecy. And I would have to say in our congregation, you don't see tongues and interpretation. You'll see a prophetic gift. We more lean toward the idea that I think we should do it as a prophetic, as a prophecy rather than as a tongues and interpretation. I don't want to create confusion amongst new people that come here. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that even the scriptures talk about it's a confusing aspect, and I don't want to confuse people because God's not the author of confusion, but he wants to bring peace. And so I want to see people see things happen. I tell them, as we move, I want it to move as ordinarily and as naturally supernatural as possible. So it's not some crazy thing. But it's the gifts of the Spirit moving in a decently and orderly way that it might edify us and bring encouragement and help to us. The bottom line, 1 Corinthians 14, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. And let me say also about prophecy, as I said, we only have known people that will prophesy here on a Sunday. On a Wednesday, we open it up because we're more family. We can kind of cover that. We can use it as an instructional time. It's easier there. But also, let me say about personal prophecy. If you have a word for somebody, you need to deliver that in front of other people. You need to deliver that in front of, we like it done with our pastors here. So we're not just having words all over the place spoken to people and nobody knows what's happening here. That's not the intent. The idea is that the word needs to be judged, and it needs to be judged amongst the leadership of the church. And so I'd encourage you, if you have a word for somebody, hey, bring it in front of the pastors with that person. Or if you're getting a word, hey, bring them and make sure you're getting it also checked out because it's what the scripture says. It needs to be judged because if not, it'll bring confusion to people. And I've seen that happen where it brings confusion to people because they didn't understand it or didn't know if it was on. And it could be off. Remember, the Bible says we look, see through the glass dimly. We prophesy in part. So we don't have the whole package, but we're trying to help a person understand what's the heart of God as they move forward. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Why are we so uncomfortable with spiritual gifts? Why, when we talk about spiritual gifts, why are we uncomfortable? Even my wife, you know, I'm getting ready and, you know, I'm going to talk about, you know, tongues, interpretation, all that. And everybody feels uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable. Why? We don't want to be misunderstood or thought, oh, you guys are weird or whatever. But I can't negate what the Bible says. I've got to talk about it. I think why we're so uncomfortable is fear. I said that before. If God were to show up, he's supernatural. He moves. When those tongues hit there, I don't think everybody went, dude, awesome. I think that went, and as they're starting to speak in tongues, I think they went, whoa, 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 what's happening? It was mind blowing. So I think what happens is we're uncomfortable, so we move away from uncomfortable things and fear, and we move toward comfortability. I only want to know comfortable things about God. God loves me. God saved me. God is good. But God is more than that. He's awesome. He's powerful. He has a plan, a purpose, and a vision, and a destiny for your life. I think also we don't understand them. Why? Spiritual gifts. We don't understand them. That's why I'm talking about them. I want to talk about spiritual gifts. Get the discussion on the table. Maybe you don't agree 100% with everything I'm saying. Let's chat about it then. Hey, let's talk about the gifts. Instead of, oh, we can't talk about them. Because, you know, the gifts actually, and we start ripping them out of our Bible because we don't believe in those things. Oh, they're written here. I know, I don't get that one, so I rip that one out because I don't understand it. I never understood this. I just go through here and I got a lot of ripped pages because I don't understand those pages. And the best way to deal with them is just to rip them out and throw them up or throw them away. A lot of times in my Bible, I have things written M-H, more here. I don't get it. I don't get it. There must be more here. Read it through next year. Huh? I don't get it. 5 years later, whoa, I'm starting to get something about that. I'm starting to understand that. That's why we read our Bible every day. It's why we keep reading. Third reason, bad experience. Somebody forced some gift on me or somebody said I had to. We don't want to force anything on anybody. How do you force a gift on somebody? Here's a gift. Open it up. I gave that to you. Or I'll hit you. What? That's not a gift. I don't think we have it forced on us. We're not going to force any gift on any person. Sometimes God gives people a little more time. They just need a little more time to digest and study. And I find people, you know, a year later, all of a sudden they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And it makes sense to me now. I want to give you time, but don't cop out either. Don't go, oh, well, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. And just keep putting it down. Study. Seek. The other thing is, what happens if it doesn't happen? What happens if I'm looking and nothing happens and then? That's where faith comes in. The other reason why we're uncomfortable, the devil. Do you think the devil wants you anything that will help you be a stronger Christian? He wants you to have nothing that will help you become a stronger a Christian. He wants to keep you quiet and powerless. Don't talk about it. Don't talk. Shh. Don't talk about it. Don't. And powerless. Last one here I put, uncomfortable with gifts because they're uncomfortable. You know, there's no gift of sitting on the couch.
What gift do you have? I have the gift of eating potato chips on a couch.
Wow, when did God give you that? Well, when I was very young. It passed on from my father to me. It's a hereditary thing. I have the gift of munch. You know, there's just no comfortable... Every gift that he gives you, he's gonna just push you out of this. He's gonna, oh, I gotta say something. I gotta do. I gotta. He's changing me. Oops, I popped the button. He's changing me. He's pushing on you. He's growing you. He's growing you. He's growing you. There are no easy, comfortable. He wants to challenge you. He wants to make you one. It's interesting. We're talking about this in the illustrators. That the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter, makes you uncomfortable.
Who are you? I'm the Comforter.
There's fire on my head. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm
here to comfort you.
He's just, what I want to do with everyone out there is to challenge you that we just want it nice and easy. And God wants to change you. God wants to transform you. God wants to empower you. First Corinthians 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. You know what the more excellent way is? I love this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. And see, this is the next verse right after, I'll show you a more excellent way. Desire gifts, I'll show you a more excellent way. You become a clanging cymbal. Although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, and can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. You're what? Nothing. Without love, you are nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing, 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 nothing. You see, if you're just some arrogant guy thinking that you've got gifts and you can, you know, you got a six shooter and you can just start doing gifts and you're wonderful and aren't I high and mighty, I'll tell you what, and you don't have love, you are nothing. That's what Paul was trying to get across. All you guys think you're high and mighty. The idea, the motivation to operate a gift is to operate it in love. Love, not just any love, but agape love. Agape love. Agape describes a love that's based on the deliberate choice of the one who loves rather than the worthiness of the one who is loved. That kind of love goes against human inclination. It is giving, selfless, unconditional, expecting nothing in return kind of love. It's the motivation for the spiritual gifts. It transcends your emotions. I just don't feel. It's not about feeling. It's about doing. Love. He doesn't give it to you to puff you up. To puff you up. Let me bring this to a conclusion. I skipped some points, but what's our biblical instruction about gifts? To desire them. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire, that word desire in the King James would say, but earnestly covet the best gifts. Covet. Want them so much. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love. He just gets done talking about love, this motivation for our gifts. It's interesting that here in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, then there's 1 Corinthians 13, then there's 1 Corinthians 14. This is about spiritual gifts. This is about spiritual gifts. This is about how to operate spiritual gifts in love. You see, this is the bread. This is the bread. This is the meat of the whole thing. We're supposed to go out and love people to Jesus Christ, and he's given you these gifts so you could operate in an amazingness of love and minister to people beyond your own ability. Pursue love. And desire, covet again is the word here. Spiritual gifts. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. He tells us to do that. Do you desire them? You need to want them. There's no excuse. Don't ignore, but explore spiritual gifts. In your life, wherever you're at, whatever your thought is, don't ignore, but explore spiritual gifts. And step out and try to operate some. You need to ask. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. So my final instruction would be, ask God for his gifts. The same way you ask for salvation, Jesus, come into my life. Lord, I want to pray for the gifts. That personal one about tongues. You know, I know that there's the corporate one, that only a few there. But it seems like everyone here is on this one. And I maybe haven't experienced it yet. Or maybe I want a fuller release. And Lord, I ask. You see, there's an amazing thing. Some people say, if God wanted me to have that, he would have just given it to me. Well, he didn't just give you salvation. You asked for it. He doesn't just give you gifts because you need to have your arms ready to receive them. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I want to speak in tongues. Lord, I want to discover the rest of the gifts that you have for me. Secondly, open them. Discover them. Learn about them. Veronica, open your gift. Take your dad out to lunch. Then number three, use them. Use them. Use them. I know this morning it's been a little challenging. I just remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. At about 19 years of age, in the Beta House fraternity. I didn't know anything about nothing. I was in a mainline denomination, knew nothing. When I came to school, I didn't even go to church anymore because I didn't have to. But someone gave me a book about the Holy Spirit. I read it at 2 o'clock at night in the Beta House in my room. And talked about this Holy Spirit. And I started to shake. And I asked, Lord, would you fill me? Would you give me this gift? And doggone it, the Holy Spirit hit me. And the Holy Spirit radically changed my life. I was just nonchalantly, just easily walking away from God. But the Holy Spirit, when He hit me and I spoke in tongues for the first time, I thought, I can't explain this. God is bigger. God is bigger. And it radically changed me. God is real. He did something to me. He challenged me. He changed me. He's moving on me. Now, it took years. He kept moving. That was one experience. But it was the thing that got me changed. I'm saying the Holy Spirit is radical, man. He does radical things. Joe, a couple weeks ago, we were just in worship on Wednesday, and he said, hey, anybody wants to get filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on over here and speak in tongues. Man, 10 people, bam, all of them filled. I've never seen a person not get filled with the Holy Spirit who wanted it. Never. I've had people that say, I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. I go, great, I'm not going to pray for you then. Hey, we're not going to just wonder, do you believe? Because you have to have faith to receive, right? But if you believe... And I want to speak to those that maybe have asked out there and haven't received and going, I thought I asked and I haven't. Then you need some help. Just come. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help you. Helped an 80-year-old man who'd been praying for so many years, didn't know that. I said, oh my gosh, just so easy. And I just helped. Bam. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, just started crying. I started crying. We all just started bawling. It's a gift. It's a gift. Would you accept it? When we get done, if anybody would like to receive the Holy Spirit, you're more than welcome here after our closers closes. And we'll pray for you. If you believe, I believe you'll receive. If you need more time, no problem. No problem. Just be willing to say, Holy Spirit, move on me. Holy Spirit, challenge me in my walk. Holy Spirit, give me the power to walk even more and more in the footsteps of Jesus. Lord, we love you. And I pray, Lord God, you guys very much. And my heart would be that you would be all that God has destined you to be. That you would reach your full potential in Christ. I love you guys. God bless. Before our